Hey everybody, I want to thank y'all for being a part of our weekly devotional today. I do want to remind you that if you need a Bible, we have provided the hospital there with free Bibles for you. And all you have to do is ask one of the administrators or staff to get one for you. We would love for you to keep one, to have one. Please take it home with you. And all we ask is that if you take one, just please read from it. Seek God's Word. Seek His truth. In our devotional today, we're going to talk about willpower. We're going to talk about willpower. So often when we struggle in addiction, when we struggle with sin, when we struggle in this life, a lot of times we seek to save ourselves. We seek to get away from our problems by being strong or by doing the right thing. And that's actually a noble intention. But the truth of the matter is, most of the time, my willpower is the problem and not the solution. Any of you who have struggled with addiction know that. How often in my life had I had friends and family and loved ones to tell me things like, well, you need to stop doing that. You need to be strong and not do that anymore. And you need to use your willpower and get away from the things that are hurting you. But the truth of the matter is that in our fallen nature, our will is usually to do exactly the opposite of what God wants us to do. And so when you try to tell an alcoholic or an addict that they need to use their willpower to stop doing what they're doing, you have a problem. You see, your will is what you want to do. That is what your will is. Your will is what you desire, what you want to do. And when you tell an addict that they need to stop using their willpower, or they need to use their willpower to stop doing what they want to do, they can't. Because what they want to do is embrace their addiction. And it is so ingrained in our fallen nature that we can't simply in our own power walk away from those kind of things. So my will is actually the problem and not the solution. To tell an alcoholic or a drug addict or somebody who addicted to porn that they need to walk away from their problem, that they need to be strong and not do that anymore, it would be like telling a blind man, handing him a flashlight and saying, hey, walk out of the dark. Or it would be like taking someone who is crippled and handing them a pair of broken crutches and saying, hey, just walk it out. You'll be all right. You see, the depravity of sin, the brokenness that comes with sin, the bondage and the slavery that comes from sin, makes it where you and I are not able on our own power to walk away from the things that are destroying us. That takes a power greater than our own. And so what we have to learn to do is we have to learn to turn away from what we're doing and turn to God and what He can do and what He has done. And so I want to share with you a couple of passages, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. And I want you to help to see, or I pray that you will be allowed to see, that it's not our will, but God's will that actually saves us. It's not my desires, but it's God's desires that actually can restore me and bring me healing and bring me hope. So we're going to look beginning in Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. And we're going to look at verses, Ezekiel chapter 36, and we're going to look at verses 22 through 32. All right. So just a little bit of quick background about this story. Ezekiel was a prophet of God, and Ezekiel was given the task or the responsibility of going to the children of Israel and reminding them of God's covenant promises to them and reminding them that that He would save them because He had promised them a salvation. Now, the children of Israel at this time had been bound up in something known as idolatry. They had gone into the promised land. They were chosen by God to be a people separate from the rest of the world, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people separate unto God, a light for God in a world that desperately needed light. And instead of following God and walking in His covenant, instead of walking in His promises, and instead of obeying His laws and living according to the way that He desired them to live, that He commanded them to live, that He willed them to live, instead of doing that, they turned away from God and they began to act like the people around them, the people of the land of Canaan, the Hittites and the Amorites and all those ites, y'all remember those guys. And so they began to start worshiping the gods of the nations around them. And instead of being a separate people, instead of being a holy people of God, they became just like the rest of the world around them. And so God sends His prophet Ezekiel to the children of Israel, because what happens is because of their idolatry, because of their sin, because of their rebellion, because of their turning away from God, God has turned them over to captivity, to slavery. They've been drug off into slavery into Assyria and into Babylon, and they have been pulled out of their home country, and they have and all of the blessings that God had poured into their lives had been taken away. All of the material blessings they had had were gone, and now they were a broken and a busted people. They were empty and depraved and broken and desperate and sad and depressed. And it's because they turned away from God and turned to the world around them, turned to themselves and their own desires, that God had turned them over to their enemies. He had turned them over to the very things that He required them not to be. And so in their struggles, in their slavery, in their bondage, God has sent Ezekiel, this prophet, to come and remind the children of Israel of His covenant promises to them. Now, what I would like for you to do as we read this is I would like for you to focus on how many times God says, "I will." Listen with me, if you will, Ezekiel 36, verse 22 through 32. It says this, "Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all of your uncleanliness and from all of your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove that heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all of your uncleanliness, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. And I will make the fruit of the trees and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine upon you." It says, "Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourself for your iniquities and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, declares the Lord God. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and be confounded for your ways, O house of Israel." So watch what's happening here. God is telling the children of Israel that it is not for their sake, but for His name's sake that He is about to act. What's happening? God is fixing to save His people from the bondage and the slavery that they are in. God is fixing to do something. God is fixing to express His will. Look what He says. He says, "I will take you from the nations and gather you. I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will wash you from all of your uncleanliness. I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within you. I will give you a heart of flesh. You will walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. I will deliver you. I will summon the grain. I will make the fruit and the trees increase in abundance." And you know what He said? He said, "You will walk in my ways, and you will be ashamed for the way that you had lived. You will be confounded. You will remember your loathsome deeds. You will remember your iniquities and your abominations, and you will loathe yourself for him. So watch what God says. God says, I'm fixing to act, and it's not because of you. It's not because you're good. It's because I am. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach down and I'm going to pull you out of that filthy, idolatrous life that you are living. I will wash you clean. I will reach in and rip out that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will fill you with my spirit and give you the strength to walk in a way that you would never have walked on your own. And what is required of the people? To simply remember their iniquities and their sin. Remember the grace of God. Recognize his provision and their abundance in their lives. And to walk in his ways. What is required of them? To recognize that they need God. To recognize that they had fallen away from God. To recognize God's forgiveness, his love, his restoration. And to walk in his will for their lives. As expressed through the law. Expressed through the covenant. And so, we recognize that all of that was God acting. There was nothing that the children of Israel could do. They were slaves. They were in bondage. They were dying. They were miserable. And God said, I'm about to act. Not because you are good, but because I am. I want you to think about that today. If you are going to get out of the struggles and the problems that you're dealing with in your life, it's going to be through the power of God and through his grace and his mercy and through his promises and through his goodness, not ours. We need to stop depending upon our will and trust in his. Now, I want to go to the New Testament and really quickly share with you one more passage to kind of emphasize that. Look with me in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 13. It says this, but he, this is Jesus, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all of those who did receive him, to those who believed on his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Remember the children of Israel, God's chosen ones. It says if we receive him, if we believe him, then he gives us the right, the freedom, the privilege, the ability to become children of God. Think about that. We are all sons of Adam. And what do all of Adam's sons have in common? We all die. And the truth of the matter is that in order to have eternal life, I have to be adopted into the family of God. I have to be regenerated. I have to be born again. And that new birth, that regeneration, does not come from my will, but from the will of God alone. It says, he came to all that received him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. What does it take? We receive him, we believe him. Now watch. Remember what he said, the children of Israel are in slavery. He said, I will reach down and pull you out of that filthy life. I will wash you clean. I will rip that heart of stone out of you and give you a heart of flesh. I will fill you with my spirit, and I will give you the strength to walk in a way that you can never walk on your own. I want you to understand that that was all God's work and not the children of Israel's work. What was their work to do? To loathe their sin, to loathe the life that they had lived. And once God changed their heart and filled them with his spirit, what was required of them? To walk in his will. And it was only through a changed heart, it was only through regeneration, it was only through this salvation that they were able to do so. God's will is for us to be saved. We are to repent and believe the gospel. That is God's will. But look what it says next in verse 12. But to all that received him, so what do? We receive him, then we believe him. He gives us the right to become children of God. Children of God have eternal life. God is their father. They are his children. These children, now watch, this is very important. These children were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Very important passage. These children were born not of blood. Now, what does that mean? That means that if your mommy and daddy are Christians, If your mommy and daddy are Christians, they are not going to pass on eternal life to you through their genetics. I have a father who is a deacon in a church, and I have a mother who played the piano all of her life in church. They are both Christians. They are both born-again believers. But the reality was, when I was conceived and born through their marriage and through their life, I was born as a son of Adam, not as a son of God. It took a new birth. It took a regeneration. It took God reaching down into a filthy world and pulling a wicked sinner like me out of it and washing me clean with His blood and reaching in and ripping that heart of stone out of me and giving me a heart of flesh and filling me with His Spirit and giving me the desire to walk in His ways. It was only then that I could and would walk in His promises. Before that, I was a rebellious sinner who wanted nothing to do with God. I could talk like a Christian, I could act like a Christian, but the truth of the matter was, I was a Christian in name only. It is only through the power of regeneration. It is only through the will of God that a person becomes a child of God. Your parents do not pass on their Christianity to you through their genetics. It's not genetics. All sons of Adam are condemned. Our blood is set to die. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ alone that we know eternal life. So, these who are born not of blood, now watch what it says next, nor of the will of the flesh. What that means is, guys, you don't just sit down one day and say, you know what, I think I'm going to be a Christian, and strain really hard and just choose to be a Christian. In the same way that I choose not to go get the ice cream out of the freezer at night before I go to bed, right? I want to lose weight. I want to stop drinking. I want to stop smoking. I want to live a healthier life. All of those are choices that we make, but the truth of the matter is we fall short on those choices every day too, don't we? We fall short on those because in our will, we always fall back to our fallen nature. Our desires are always away from God and toward our senses. We chase after things that look good and smell good and taste good and sound good and feel good. So if I was dependent on my will to step out of my sin or my bondage or my addictions, I will never do it. It has to be God that does it. It says we are not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. That means it's not your choice that saves you. It's God's choice that saves you. Nor of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a man. Now, that's an amazing thing because I'm a chaplain and a pastor. And if I had the power and the ability to make you believe, I would do whatever it takes to make you believe. If I could come into a room and spray everybody down with holy water or force crackers and wine down your throat or beat you over the head with a Bible and make you a believer, if I could rascal you down and pin your arm behind your back and make you will and desire to be a child of God, you'd have a fight on your hands. Because I would try any way that I could to make you a believer. But I realize as a pastor, as someone who has been called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to you, that it is only the will of God that changes a man's heart. It is only the word of God and the will of God that changes a man's heart. It's through the preaching of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit that God reaches down into this world and takes broken and busted men and changes them and makes them children of God. So, it is not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, it's the will of God that saves His children. It was the will of God that sent His Son to die on a cross. It was the will of the Son. It was the will of the Son to give Himself up for broken men and women like you, to become a propitiation for us, to hang on that cross and to give His life for His sheep. That was His will. And it is the will of the Holy Spirit that all of those who the Father decreed were His, and all of those that Jesus died on the cross to save, it is the will of the Holy Spirit that all of those will be drawn to the Father, and all of those will become children of God. That is the will of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three and God's will always stand. And so we recognize today that it is not our will that saves us. It is not our will that gives us solutions to our problems. It is the will of God and the truth of God. So, what is His will for us? His will for us is to turn away from sin and self and to turn to Him, to turn to His salvation. And guys, I can promise you, if in your heart you know you need Him today, then His will is being expressed in your life. Because it is only through the hearing of His promises and the power of His Holy Spirit that any broken individual, any fallen man like me or you, would desire to turn away from our brokenness and to turn away from ourselves and to turn away from who we are and turn to who God wants us to be. So if you're out there today and you know you need Him, please understand that His will is being expressed in your life. And His will is for us to repent and believe the gospel, to turn away from sin and self and turn to His truth. What did He promise? I will reach down into that broken and busted world that you live in and pull you out of the filth and the muck and the mire and set your feet upon a rock. I will take you out of sin and self and death and dying and destruction, and I will wash you clean. I will cover you in my goodness. I will rip that heart of stone out of you, that heart that desires all of those things that are killing you. I will rip that heart out of you and give you a heart of flesh. And I will fill you with my Spirit and give you the strength to become a person that you could never be on your own. You will walk in my ways and you will loathe your old life and delight in the life that He has died to give broken people like us. So please, if you're out there today and you know you need Him, turn away from yourself, turn away from your will, and turn to the will of God. The Bible said it is not His will that any should perish. Repent and believe the gospel. Father, thank You for this time we've had together. As simply as I know how, I have shared Your message of salvation. And my prayer is that if there be a man or a woman out there today who has never trusted You, that You would give them the strength to turn away from sin and self and turn to what Your Son Jesus did on the cross to save broken people like us. Help us to know Your salvation. Help us to receive it. Help us to believe it. Help us to walk in it. Help us to be a light in a world that so desperately needs Your truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.